what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks, to Today's Issues. We're here on our third and final segment for today. It is June 11th. I forgot to mention that earlier. In case you're wondering what day it is, we are now past the third of June, which is we're approaching halfway through 2024. And it just seems like the year has blown by, perhaps because we have a major, major election coming up in November. But it certainly seems like we have just buzzed through the first 5 months plus of the year. So, as I mentioned, Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. And Wesley Wildman joins me here in studio. And now it is Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
In for Fred.
What a slow day thus far.
Yeah, it's just funny. We had breaking news, major breaking news, while we were on the air. And Fred and you guys at American Family News do such a great job.
Thank you.
Keeping up with what is happening. Yeah. Folks, if you go to AFN.net, that's for American Family News, you will see the stories here regarding the Hunter Biden decision, the jury finding Hunter Biden guilty on all three charges related to gun possession and drug use. So
I do have one more clip we can air from that if you want.
Let's go.
A couple of personalities in the last hour weighing in on this. What you're going to hear now is Judge Jeanine Pirro saying Hunter could very well go to jail for all this. Clip 15.
You know, usually when someone doesn't have a prior, it's a nonviolent crime. You know, there's a lot of consideration given to the defendant. However, the fact that this defendant didn't plead guilty and indicate that he was remorseful is something that allows a federal judge, in terms of the sentencing guidelines, to take that into consideration.
I'm not a lawyer, so Wesley, I'm just going to say, in terms of taking that into consideration, I got to say, I think it is perfectly acceptable for someone not to want to plead guilty to charges. Now, the remorse, I don't know. I certainly think a judge should be able to take these kinds of things into consideration, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. We talked about it at the start of the program, at the first hour, that, you know, a lot of times we hear these things and we don't have time to kind of digest them. Off the top of my head, I don't think that that should necessarily mean he goes to prison for this. But maybe when I think about it later, I might change my mind. I don't know.
Well, just to be trying to, again, it's hard to keep up with all the details of all the stories, but trying to be as consistent as possible as we can. You know, my position on when Trump, I understand that I think he was wrongfully convicted.
Right.
Nonetheless, even under their convicting him, under their statute and what they said he did, what they're saying he did still is nonviolent.
Right.
And so my position was, if it's a nonviolent crime, it's a fee.
It's a fine.
And maybe some other types of punishments along those lines, consequence along those lines. These three, they're felons. There's obviously hard evidence here too as well. So I would lean toward holding the same position of, I don't see this as being a prison sentence worthy.
Right.
Charge. There's three of them, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in Trump's case, and I agree with you, I think this is lawfare against President Trump.
Yes.
But it was 34 counts.
Right.
And I think that's because there were 34 instances or whatever. So
sure.
I guess now that you said that, my initial hesitancy. I think I continue to go with that.
Yep.
Because prison is a terrible place, especially if you're well known.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Hunter Biden and, of course, President Trump, you're almost asking for something bad to happen to somebody.
Sure.
So, anyway, all right. So we'll wait to see how this plays out. Any idea, Chris, when sentencing is expected to take place?
I was not able to determine that during the whirlwind hour or really last 35 minutes. It would be this year.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just June. So the sentencing, yeah, I'm guessing within a week or two. So,
I do want to direct our listeners' attention to AFN.net. I know you mentioned it a minute ago, but we do already have coverage up here. Hunter Biden, President Joe Biden's son, convicted of all three felonies in federal gun trial. So do check that out. We'll be updating that throughout the day on AFN.net. We're also going to stay on top of this. It's probably the lead story for the rest of the day at the top of the hour on the radio side of things.
Okay.
It is showing, though, that based on his criminal, based on the three crimes that he's committed and being convicted for, there is a sentencing up to 10 years is what they're stating. So,
right.
Yep.
He has definitely put his father and the Biden administration in a bind
spot.
Here because
bad spot.
Right. Hardly a week, maybe even hardly a day goes by without the president or somebody that works for him tweeting or posting something like "get rid of guns." You know, we gotta get rid of gun violence and ban assault weapons. All these things they put out there. So Mr. Tough on Guns is now going to have to be in a position where his son was convicted of doing something he shouldn't have involving a gun form.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because that brings something else to mind. There, the Democrats, Biden, his team, his administration, also are all about these red gun laws. Red flag laws, trying to find all kind of reasons to make it more difficult, okay, to get guns. Well, and they always say we got to have background check. Well, we got those.
Right.
Background check. He lied. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So. This is just one more proof that you can put. Now, that I'm not saying we don't have laws, or that we don't. That there's not. I'm not saying eliminate a process altogether to get guns, but we have reasonable processes already in place, and criminals break those.
Yes.
So if you're gonna make rules, just keep in mind you don't want to make rules so much so that it makes it difficult for law-abiding citizens to get guns,
right,
when we all know that criminals are going to get them. In this case, he got his gun.
Yeah.
And he lied.
Right. Yeah. And law-abiding citizens and moral people are not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
So it does create the possibility that all you're doing is preventing law-abiding people from getting guns, but the Hunter Bidens of this world
still got it.
They still got them.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
All right.
In other news, if you don't recognize the name Dr. Ethan Haim, you probably will because it's going to be in the news a lot more in the next few days. Dr. Haim is a surgeon in Texas who in recent weeks attempted to blow the whistle on what he called secret gender manipulation procedures at Texas Children's Hospital. Dr. Haim has been hit with four felony charges for violating HIPAA laws, allegedly, by releasing some of this information to a news outlet in Texas. And the reason I bring this up is because Dr. Ethan Haim was on Fox News Channel's The Ingram Angle last night to defend his actions. I have audio from Dr. Haim here. It is clip 16.
Imagine what happens when you take a vulnerable, confused kid when they're 11 years old and you start them on puberty blockers. What you created is a chronic medical patient. For the rest of their lives, they're going to be tethered to the boundaries of a hospital. They were giving every indication to the public that they were shutting down this program. But I worked there, I did surgery there, I knew categorically this was untrue. They not only continued the program, but expanded it behind closed doors. And especially as a doctor, trust is the most important currency we have. And the fact that they were lying to the public is an egregious violation of medical ethics.
Now, once again, stay with AFN for continuing coverage on this story. I'm trying to get the hospital to respond to the claims you just heard from the hospital or from the doctor there. Meanwhile, Texas attorney Marcella Burke is representing Dr. Haim, and she's already issued statements to media saying the government is going after a whistleblower here, adding, quote, "My client is anxious to get to trial to get his side of the story told."
Now, by the way, HIPAA, folks, you've heard this this abbreviation before. It's HIPAA stands for Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. It's a 1996 law signed into law by President Bill Clinton at the time. But it's part of HIPAA is a requirement that privacy on the part of patients be protected. Okay. And what Dr. Haim is saying is that even though he is a whistleblower and exposed what he claims is the hospital's duplicity with regard to these surgeries and other transitioning processes, that he did not reveal any personal information. However, he claims, Wesley, and then I'll pitch this to you here for your comments. He claims, he said, quote, "I had three heavily armed agents," these were federal agents, "at my door 7 a.m. Tuesday to inform me that I was indicted with four felonies for blowing the whistle about the largest children's hospital in the world lying to the public about their transgender program," end quote. This is becoming increasingly common on the part of the Biden Justice Department and the FBI, whether it's pro-life people who are arrested and then charged, or in this case, a doctor regarding transgender controversies, showing up heavily armed first thing in the morning. And this doctor saying they're trying to intimidate me, but I'm not going to be silenced. But this is concerning. This is concerning, these heavily armed officers.
Yeah, it is. Obviously, as we've seen, and also with the J6ers and others, them using government officials to scare people and to make a they're hoping that this will be a ripple effect and other doctors will not follow suit.
Right.
I'm thankful that this doctor has said that he's going to that he's not going to be intimidated by that. Now, back to the issue, though, with what details we've just went over, there's two different issues here. HIPAA, like as y'all pointed out, that's for people's private information. What he's doing, he's telling on them.
Right.
And so, and if they don't like him to, I mean, I don't know how they're going to, they meaning the, I guess is that a facility, is that a hospital? That's a hospital?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm kind of curious on what the hospital is going to do about that, because either they're doing or they're not. I mean, if they're breaking the rules and he's telling on them, what are they going to say? I mean, they're going to get mad about that, because if they're breaking the rules, that's the problem.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm not sure that these are their own rules, but they were publicly telling people we're not doing these
surgeries,
but then they were doing
them yeah.
behind. And listen, Chris, this is
so
these kinds of transition surgeries. Mm-hmm. They're very lucrative.
Yes.
There are hospitals that make a lot of money doing these. We've covered this over the last 3 or 4 years where people discussing this internally in a hospital. There was one in Tennessee not too long ago, two, 3 years, where they were advocating. You had people inside the hospital advocating to do these surgeries because it was so lucrative.
Did they have an age? In the story, is there an age mentioned of the restriction of like 16 and older? Is this for minors?
Yeah, oftentimes it's generally in a lot of the red states that have moved in this direction, where they are banning what they're calling the gender manipulation of minors or gender mutilation of minors, which includes even giving medications. The general term is people 17 and under. Right. But in this particular case, Dr. Haim mentioned an 11-year-old.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was asking. Okay. Wow.
So we will continue to follow this.
Yes.
This is an important case.
Yeah, I've reached out to all of the, I think it was like a half a dozen media relations people there at the hospital. More often than not, we get a "we can't comment on pending litigation" kind of thing, to which I will include that because that is their response. And I am trying to get in touch with the attorney. So we have a story that's in the system airing today. Parrish Alford, our long-form reporter, a great guy, is putting together information for AFN.net. So
wonderful.
It's not just what you hear on the radio. Visit AFN.net for longer stories featuring more voices you sometimes don't hear on the radio.
I will say this is, I think this is a miscalculation if on the part of the hospital.
Right, yes.
If the hospital contacted the federal government and Dr. Haim is saying that this prosecution, quote, is driven by a highly ideological division within the Department of Health and Human Services, end quote. If this was instigated by the hospital, this is a big miscalculation on their part, because if Dr. Haim goes through with this, he doesn't sound like the kind of person who's going to make some kind of deal with with the Justice Department. Right. His lawyers are going to be allowed then to go through the discovery process with the hospital. That means emails that they send internally. If somebody said, if, I'm just saying if, folks, if somebody within the hospital said, let's publicly state that we're going to stop doing it, but let's keep doing it behind the scenes because people are idiots and we can make all kinds of money. All
money.
That is going to come out in the trial, and this hospital could be worse off than it would if they had just tried to deal with the blowback because of Haim's, Dr. Haim's revelations.
You mentioned Health and Human Services there. This is a loaded topic, and we probably wouldn't be able to do it enough justice in the next 9 minutes and 15 seconds. But it's another reason why perhaps we should never have had the federal government create bureaucracies like the Department of Health and Human Services, which can then dangle money over a hospital and say, we're not going to give you this unless you do this, this, and this.
Right.
They already do that with education. For instance, we're not going to give you money if you don't bow the knee to our Title IX changes.
Right.
And do things that people behind Title IX never envisioned 50 years ago when they wrote it into law. So I would imagine at some point the federal government will start doing more of the, we'll give your hospital this if you do that, but you're not going to get it if you don't go in that direction. We already saw that with COVID shots. They said, hey, you know, hospitals aren't going to get this unless your nurses and doctors get the jab. And the Supreme Court backed that up. But, you know, thankfully ruled it out of, like, the private sector with other people. But even then, you have a lot of people in the healthcare sector, even still today, claiming religious freedom as to why they should be able to not have to get the jab.
Yeah. Well, that is an issue for another another day. My personal opinion is freedom will continue to evaporate in this country. The bigger, the larger the federal bureaucracy gets, because they are staffed not by people that are elected, but by ideologues who are appointed, and they never get, bad English here, but I'm making a point, they never get unappointed. They stay in their positions almost until they want to retire, and their power over individual citizens just continues to grow.
Yeah, and it would be good, too, if Republicans and moderate Democrats were to have a backbone and stand up to these kinds of things, because more often than not, they shy away or they have these little vague statements or whatnot to avoid the media or somebody coming back to them. What, you're against hospitals getting federal dollars?
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, I'm sorry.
That's the way the game's played.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
All right, let's move on.
One other topic that has seemingly gotten covered up in a lot of the stuff that's gone on in the past month or 6 weeks or so has been the southern border. News alert, it's still broken.
Okay? Yeah.
People are still crossing it. Biden, of course, did do the big show last week where he claimed he was issuing an executive order and we were going to tighten up the southern border, after saying, of course, that he couldn't do anything else by executive order. In recent days, Fox News and Newsmax, OAN, a lot of news outlets on the right, have run hard and heavy with a story on a memo obtained by Fox News telling Border Patrol officers in the San Diego area that they just need to go ahead and release people. And all this comes amid the news coverage of Biden's executive order. I've got a couple of senators here. This is Senator Eric Schmidt talking on Fox News Channel Clip 3.
Only six countries are noted in the Eastern Hemisphere. That means if you're from China, if you're a spy from China, you can get here for $5,000 to $10,000, and you'll be in the interior of the United States through catch and release. If you're a terrorist from Iran, same deal.
One other senator we often feature on this here program is Louisiana Senator and Mississippi native John Kennedy, who had this to say, Clip 4.
President Biden has issued a memo quietly to the California region saying that his executive order is only going to apply to six countries, just six, in the Eastern Hemisphere.
Right.
There are over 100 countries in the Eastern Hemisphere.
If what they say is accurate, what we saw and heard from the Biden administration last week was just a smoke and mirror
well,
show.
Wesley, we all knew that.
Yeah. We went over this last week there, and Fred was sitting in here when we went over the long list of exemptions.
Yeah.
And the long list of exemptions for his executive order that's supposed to stop illegal immigrants.
Right.
There's a long list of we didn't even get to all of it. We would have bored you.
Yes.
We would have bored our listening audience if we were able to get to all. We highlighted four or five of them, and they were obvious that this is smoke and mirrors. And this right here, assuming this is true as well, this is just one more example of him saying, guys, we're going to do something about it because we got to do something about it because it's a big issue. But, hey, guys, at the border, y'all just let them go, all right? When we get them.
we're going to do something about it because it's really important. We're going to do something about it. Hey, guys, don't worry back there. We're not going to do anything about
right.
it.
Right. yes.
So, your point is absolutely valid. The Biden administration knows this issue is high up on the list of voters in terms of issues that seriously concern them. The Biden administration has done squat about it. In fact, they want the open border, but they can't come right out and say that. So they pretend like they're going to do something about it, and they blame Republicans for the problem at the border, but nothing is going to get done.
You know, Biden could be listening. President Biden could be listening to today's issues because a couple months back, I said, you know what? Up to this point, this is several months ago, I said, there's an issue at the border, millions have crossed, and he's saying there's not a problem. I said, the least he could do is lie and say he's going to do something about it. Well, here he is. He's lying, and he's saying he's going to do something about it. So he's making steps in the right direction to be a Democrat.
For a guy who has been in some sort of public office for 50-plus years, and was a heartbeat away from the presidency for 8 years, to claim there's not anything else I can do that you just, that's unbelievable.
Well, because as people have mentioned on this show before, he could, if he says he can't do anything, he could reverse his first steps when he took office, when Joe Biden, stopped doing everything President Trump had been doing.
Right.
He reversed all that or deep sixed it. Mm. He could at least go back and reverse that.
Yeah. It's the same guy who famously said it's probably illegal, but it's worth it when he extended the moratorium on evictions during COVID. And then he also continues to say things like MAGA Republicans and the Supreme Court told me I couldn't, but that didn't stop me on student loan relief.
Right.
If he's going to live by that line of thinking, you could throw out some sort of executive action you don't believe you have the authority to do, let it get tangled up in the courts, and at least play itself out while you claim you did something.
Yeah, well, he doesn't want to do anything.
And, Ed, you pointed out at the top of this hour, and when we first started this segment, third segment, that we're blinking, and we're almost in the middle of June.
Yes.
And of course, there's a presidential debate here on June 27th.
That's right.
Just 2 weeks away. So you're blowing by. You're coming up on the election. Got the debate at the end of June. You know, it's going to be hard to overcome, especially because we know how they're going to handle it. But it's going to be hard to overcome the two primary issues that have been the primary issues for at least a year, and that's what's going on at the border and people's pocketbook.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that we'll be covering a lot over the next couple of months on today's issues in AFR and AFN, because those are the two primary issues, and President Joe Biden and his administration are seemingly unconcerned about both of those in a way that would be helpful to the American people.
Well, and when you're pointing about the year blowing by, folks, in about 1 month, the Republicans hold their national convention.
Yeah.
We're talking about July 15th. It's the 11th. So in 4 days, we're 30 days away.
Yeah.
And then roughly 30 days after that's the Democratic Party convention.
Yep.
We're zeroing in
we are.
On election day, and it is going by in the blink of an eye. All right, folks, that is all the time we have for today's issues today. More great programming is directly ahead on American Family Radio. We invite you to go to AFR.net and check out the podcasts of some of your favorite shows. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.